Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. That's it. Period. That's pretty much all you need for a sermon today. You will get more, but Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Reminds me of a funny story that really doesn't have much to do with what I'm going to talk about, but it's a funny story, so I'm going to relate it anyway. For a short period of time before I got my curacy, I worked at VST, Vancouver School of Theology, as assistant to the registrar. And one of the jobs I had there was to be the first person to look at or vet the applications for students coming to VST. And students would apply from all over the world, including Africa. And one of the things I noticed about African students is that where we would normally end a covering letter with sincerely Patrick Blaney or kindest regards or something like that, they usually had quite a flourish at the end. In the name of the living God, we hear the noises and sounds of Jeremiah and Jacob and blah, blah, blah. It was quite lovely in many respects. So I got this one that was from, and it was obviously from a country, English was not his first language. You could tell from the covering letter there were some grammatical mistakes and words were a little off, but his flourish at the end, obviously the spell check changed what he had intended, and at the end he said, "Christ is raisin. Christ is raisin indeed." And I just got the image of that, you know, the claymation, the California raisins, sort of Christ coming out of the tomb doing one of those. Anyway, that was the image that I got. We know from the Gospel of John, which we heard today, that Jesus was resurrected before any disciples saw him. It was sometime during the night or the morning. It's not explained exactly when or how. There was no angel that appeared. There was no man in white that came out and said, "Jesus is risen." There was no announcement from God. We just know from the Gospels that it happened. And perhaps not surprisingly then, Mary thinks that the body has been taken away when she comes in the morning and sees the stone rolled away and the tomb is empty. It makes sense in a way, because that would be the final indignity. Christ, who had been tortured and mocked and killed in the most gruesome public way, the final indignity would be to take the body and throw it somewhere. So not surprisingly, she thinks that's what happened. And then she goes back and the two disciples come running to the tomb, the beloved disciple who we don't, is not named, we assume it's John and Peter. And John looks in the tomb and he knows that God has overcome death. He senses that. But he doesn't know the resurrection. And Peter doesn't seem to know much of anything. There's no response from him. They just see and go back. For all of the Gospels, and in particular the Gospel of John and Mark, it shows that God had victory over death. But it is just the beginning. It is just the beginning of the Easter proclamation. It is much more than just victory over death. The Gospel of John, which we heard today, that story is so simple and transparent and beautiful. You see Mary going to the gardener asking, where is he? Have you moved the body? Where have you put him? If you have, don't worry about it. We'll figure something out. I'll put him somewhere else. I just want to know where he is. And Mary doesn't know, of course, that the gardener is Jesus. And when she finds out there is no fanfare, I wonder why that is. We already know that God has the power of death. We already know that Jesus is the gardener. So there is, in our, as readers, we know that. In the sort of the story for us, there's very little mystery or suspense. But the power of the story is not our recognition of Jesus. but it's when will Mary recognize? And in that moment, when she does recognize, the mystery of the tomb becomes a powerful reality for her and for us. Jesus instructs Mary to tell the others, to say to them, "I have seen the Lord," and she does that. Indeed, the lack of suspense in the story gives it its meaning and power. The familiarity between Jesus and Mary creates this wonderful moment of joy and intimacy. And it happens when Jesus calls her by name. Jesus calls her by name and she recognizes him. And the whole world is changed. Jesus is risen. The two disciples who I mentioned, Peter and the one Jesus loved, go home. But Mary stays. And as I said the last couple of weeks, to have a woman testify to this in the 2,000 years ago is absolutely astounding. There's no way that a writer would have chosen a woman, because women had no historical say in history. To have a woman say something is heretical. And yet there she is, Mary, she sees him. And Jesus instructs her. The proclamation of the resurrection begins with these words from Mary: "I have seen the Lord." It is much, much more than just a victory over death, although it is that for sure. Jesus calls Mary by her name, and the meaning of Easter is launched. I was watching a CBC News documentary at the end of the Canadian involvement in the war in Afghanistan. And at the end of that piece, they decided to do something very profound. They decided to show each picture and say each fallen soldier by name. They could have just said, "This many died." They could have said, "This many men and women." They could have put a thumbnail sketch up, a thumbnail picture of all of them put together. But they decided to show each picture and name each person by name. And it took a long time, because there was 158 of them. And yes, it was sad. It was very moving. But you also got this profound sense of sacrifice, this profound sense that something great had been achieved for Canada by them, by their souls. It was moving, not just sad. Jesus, in his sacrifice, came out and said Mary's name by name, and the beginning of Easter was launched. Today, Jesus called Lorelai and Bérouse. I think church is Lorelai's thing. She's just look at her. Today, Jesus called Lorelai and Bérouse by name, and now they are Christ's own forever. And today, Jesus stands in front of all of us in this congregation and calls us each one by name. Jesus meets us on this day, calling our name, experiencing our worries, our fears, our griefs, experiencing our joys, our dreams, our love, experiencing communion with him, and reminding us again and again that grace is not an object, but it is a gift to be loved, a gift to be lived, and a gift to share. Today is Easter Sunday. Jesus calls us by our name, and while we may experience this each one differently, we are all renewed in the fact that we are Christ's own forever. Easter is much more than God's victory over death. It is the proclamation that God is with us still, and God will be with us forever and ever and always. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. And we once again restart our journey with the one who knows us and guides us and loves us and calls us by our name. Happy Easter. Amen.